Hi, and welcome to Night Clerk Radio. This is episode 49, post-rock and horror. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Burke. And we are going to be talking about the genres of post-rock and the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was suggested by a person on Twitter who said we should talk about The Link. You gentlemen mentioned post-rock and Insensibility in the Silent Hill 2 OST. Thank you. 3 also has some strong vibes too, especially Small Sanctuary, which always reminds me of Tortoise. You guys are the best. Thank you. Yeah, so post-rock, I was introduced to post-rock through horror.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned this before, but it was the 28 Days Later soundtrack with Godspeed, You Black Emperor, the track being East Hastings. That, you know, in my younger, you know, more naive, less experienced movie viewing days, that movie blew me away. And that soundtrack, the mix of the soundtrack and the way it was cut to the visuals, especially the main character wandering around post-apocalyptic London. And then the crescendo at the end when he confronts the bad people. Mm-hmm. Spoilers for a 20-year-old movie.
There are bad people.
There are bad people, not just the zombies. It turns out the real monster is man, or the British Army, which historically speaking, it's pretty accurate. Anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was how I was introduced to post-rock, was through the horror genre. And most of mine, obviously I've devoured Godspeed You Black Emperor as my primary channel into post-rock. But what about you, Burke?
I'm trying to remember if I said anything on that Godspeed You Black Emperor episode, because it's interesting trying to pace back. I definitely know about post-rock and similar genres through a friend in film school, Doug. Mm-hmm. You're listening. Good job, Doug. Thank you. Who was real into both Lynch and all kinds of post-rock, art rock, experimental noise, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff. And we did a student film together our first or second year called Madrigata, which was like a very bad trying to be Eraserhead film, but with none of the ability or passion, really. Quite right. No, that's not fair. But yeah, it was just very much like art film is difficult and it's actually hard to do. And most of it just comes across like unfocused.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he put together the soundtrack to that, which I still have sitting on a hard drive. And it's all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I first remember hearing it. So even though I don't think of the genre as a horror genre, I guess I sort of associate it with stuff tangentially, because a lot of Lynch stuff can be kind of horrific in its own way.
Yeah.
Definitely the types of movies we tried to make in film school were horror adjacent, but not like genre horror, but like we thought we were commenting on the horrors of society. And that's definitely the music we picked for it. So there's probably more there than I realized.
Yeah. There's a lot of horror movie soundtracks that sound like post-rock.
Mm-hmm.
Movies like The Witch, Annihilation, and Monsters, all if you could pick out, especially like I listened back to some of the soundtrack of Annihilation and The Witch, and boy, there are some, like, a lot of guitar, really dissonant, distorted, weird vocal samples, like in The Witch, of like the witches chanting and stuff. And it sounds like a B-side from a Godspeed album. But yeah, so like when I looked into this, I realized there actually wasn't as much of a link, at least in media, between post-rock and horror, as I assumed there would be. Mm-hmm. Because again, that 20 Days Later was such a strong impression on me. It was also like, oh man, zombies are awesome.
That never came up again.
Yeah, that never came up again. But so when I researched this topic, I found, I mean, there's a lot of post-rock in movie soundtracks, but most of them are not horror. But I think we should maybe first start by like talking about what is post-rock, because if we can kind of like help define what it is, or like some of the common traits about it, we can figure out its link to the horror genre. And so, yeah, I want to start by talking a little bit about the traits of what most people assume is post-rock.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of it is obviously it's instrumental based. There's very few, there's not much singing in post-rock. There's not much in the way of lyrics. Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. I mean, not entirely. Mogwai and other bands have done that, but like Godspeed You Black Emperor is almost entirely instrumental with like Plunderphonics, you know, just samples recorded like number stations or the rants of a person, or other traits include they're very long songs with like a heavy drone influence.
Yeah.
Like just these minimalist soundscape kind of, and again, mentioning Plunderphonics and also Music Concrete of like found and recorded field recordings and weird audio samples. And then the final of these traits I want to talk about, the Bolero effect, which is named for Bolero, mm-hmm. which is this classical piece of music you've all heard before that begins very softly and builds up. And so it's a very simple rhythmic beat that is played for a very long time and then builds and builds and builds and builds mm-hmm. until it becomes just cacophonous, just this massive thing, like the Inception soundtrack, the main song. Very much the Bolero.
Yeah, or Time, which is not the theme, but is like probably the most overused song from that soundtrack, mm-hmm. has that same repeated motif that's like violins and the guitars play it, then everybody's playing it, then the horns are playing, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I knew of that effect, but I didn't know that they had a specific term mm-hmm. for it. And one fun thing I found out is the post-rock fan community has like a term for post-rock bands that overdo this, and they call it crescendo core.
Ooh.
Yeah, so apparently, because Godspeed You Black Emperor was so influential, there's a ton of post-rock bands that imitate that sound, and so there's a lot of like, oh, it's just another formulaic post-rock crescendo core of a 20-minute song that builds into an insane, you know, a crazy crescendo and then dies out. So, like, I like that that's become a cliche within post-rock, because post-rock is like one of these genres that is like well known among people like music aficionados and stuff like that, but it never achieved like huge mainstream success. Like Godspeed You Black Emperor is like, that's the only time they've let their music be used in a movie as far as I can tell.
Yeah, it never ended up like stadium rock or something where it's just all over the radio all the time. Mm-hmm. Even though they do yeah, they do that. Explosions in the Sky have done some soundtrack work, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, not well known because it's a little bit of a nonsense term. It's kind of like grouping a bunch of different like experimental subgenres into kind of a term that's collective, but maybe not as like useful anymore, because I've heard stuff described as post-rock that is not, to me, like even rock adjacent. Mm-hmm. Like one of my favorite drone groups, the Stars of the Lid. They're a Texas-based mm-hmm. drone, and it's like true drone. It's like, you know, here's our 14-minute track, and the violins change chords every 2 or 3 minutes or whatever. Like it's real, not all of them, but like it's real true drone. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that stuff just gets grouped in because post-rock is kind of seen as like a bridge between rock and ambient, and like post-rock, mm-hmm. it's moving beyond rock conventions or what people think you have to have in rock songs, but still has a lot of the same just instrumentation, not being instrumental, but like it's different because it's ambient, but it's more like we run guitars through a bunch of effects to create like soundscapes and textures. We do have guitar riffs. We do have like rock drums, but just sort of as that bridge between like, yeah, like independent or experimental rock and ambient. So it does lend itself well to soundtrack and horror type stuff, even though I've never associated with that genre. Like I said, I've always thought of it as more melancholy and hopeful, mm-hmm. Never horrific. So I don't know.
Yeah. So that's what made me like, really like, what is the link to be? Because it's so used so beautifully in 28 Days Later. It had to, it's like, what had to be used in other horror stuff. And, you know, that original tweet that was mentioned talks about the Silent Hill mm-hmm. music and the Silent Hill music. Certainly there are some really post-rock songs within mm-hmm. it, which just speaks to the brilliance of that soundtrack that it can go through so many places. Yep. But like you just mentioned that it's linked to like, you know, drone and ambient, like, you know, gateway on there, and drone and ambient are heavily influenced by horror mm-hmm. and horror is influenced by them. So there is something there. There is actually one, I did find one other horror, well, not a movie, but a game, a video game that uses post-rock, Mogwai. Is mm-hmm. well, that's not the game, but mm-mm. that's the post-rock group that use it. The game is Spec Ops: The Line, and spoilers for a game that came out like over a decade ago. So in Spec Ops the Line, you're playing a special forces soldier sent into Dubai, which has totally collapsed due to a massive dust storm. Mm-hmm. And it's gone incredibly lawless. You know, everyone's killing each other. Another group of American soldiers went in, and they're the commander, Colonel Conrad, is killing the civilians. And you realize this is happening. You go out and you're trying to find him. So obviously this is basically a retelling of Heart of Darkness.
Yeah. Colonel Conrad. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what Spec Ops the Line, you know, so it plays like a third person cover shooter, like Gears of War. And you start as like, aha, I'm the heroic soldier guy. But as the game goes on, as you get more and more injured and covered in blood and dust, and your fellow soldiers are dying and getting maimed, you see atrocity after atrocity, and you commit atrocity after atrocity, you start becoming unhinged. And the horror of it is that you find Colonel Conrad at the end, after you've sacrificed everyone else in your team, after you've killed innocent civilians with white phosphorus, by the way, in a really fucked up sequence, which is not optional. There's no way to skip it. And you find Colonel Conrad and he's already dead. And your character loses his mind. And you can choose whether you accept surrender and go home a broken shell of a human, or you can keep the war going and just kill the American soldier sent to evacuate you. So it's probably one of the best ways to tell like a fractured mental psyche kind of story in a video game that I've seen. And certainly, but they play Mogwai songs during the last act as things are breaking down and everything's getting fractured. And there's like, I believe Mogwai plays as you have this big revelation that Colonel Conrad is dead. And all those messages you heard over the radio were just hallucinations from him. So yeah, it's a really great use of that music. So what I think is the link between these two things is that for me, post-rock is the music of despair and passion. Like a lot of, you know, post-rock goes from like drone, everything is fucked, the machine is bleeding, to these crescendos of just overwhelming passion of like rage or joy or defiance. So it's sort of matching some of the emotional beats of horror of like East Hastings, you know, the character in 28 Days Later is wandering around as this despondent guitar, you know, plays and like everyone's dead. The end is extremely fucking nigh, to at the end running up against a bunch of soldiers and trying to kill them, not caring if you live or die, trying to protect the people. And so the music's built to this insane crescendo. So I think that's the link there is there's, you know, no middle ground in post-rock. And that's what horror is about defying expectations and conventions. And, you know, so that is my thesis.
That's interesting. Cause I think I was just thinking about this question slightly differently. So I'm just trying to synthesize in real time on air.
Don't worry. We can edit the, well, you can edit things.
No, it's fine. Because I was more thinking about what does it mean for something to be horrific? Which I don't have like a good definition necessarily in my head. And I kind of need to work that out before I can be like, oh yeah, post-rock has like some bridge to being horrific, because like Spec Ops is a good example, because horror media that I like, and I promise we'll loop back around to this, but we're going to take a little, take a little side tangent through my brain. Horror media is often like the best horror media is often disguised. So like you were saying, you know, Spec Ops, externally marketing everything looks like just another like bro military shooter, right? Like it's just another 2012 peak of the US, you know, Afghan conflict. You know, the tons of like the height of Call of Duty's popularity, maybe. I don't know if that's true or if it's still growing, but that's very much what I associate with that time. And yeah, it actually becomes a thing about like, oh, if you're a soldier, you're actually just a fucking monster. You know, really good horror games that like, you know, you and Caleb have written tend to have kind of mundane aspects to them. So I was thinking like horror stuff comes out of taking expectations and then for lack of a less meme-y term, subverting them into something terrible. And I think to do that, you generally need media that already breaks from normalcy in some sense, which post-rock kind of does, because it's about rejecting like the normalcy of rock. So I was trying to go somewhere in that direction too, of like that it's like a great genre to pair with horror, because it's also about altering what your expectations are for a genre. And I don't know. That's kind of where I was going with it, but I think I like yours better.
Well, I mean, it's also like about revelation.
Yeah.
Like the character realizing something so terrible that it something snaps in their mind, you know, in 28 days later. It's those soldiers are, you know, that were ostensibly to protect you are actually just murderous and rapists, and you need to kill them. And you are capable of killing real humans, not just infected, mindless rage zombies. You can kill humans, and you have to. And, you know, Spec Ops the Line is obviously you're the monster. You thought you were a hero, but you're a killer. Like another example, like that, like I mentioned, the movie Annihilation. If you listen to the soundtrack, there's I can't remember the composer off the top of my head, but there's like post-rock elements in the soundtrack and witches, you know, it's about revealing something personal about the person, about yourself.
Right.
That is awful. And that sort of like getting that crescendo of like, oh, shit. And what else would inspire more impassion than like learning some terrible truth about yourself? But, you know, you mentioned non-horror things. And I think like, you know, one movie soundtrack I listened to a ton after it came out was The Fountain. The soundtrack is done by Mogwai and the Kronos Quartet. And the Mogwai elements are obviously, guess what? Post-rock. And that's a movie about revelation, about transcending, you know, material reality to achieve, you know, a true nirvana or, you know, a higher plane of existence. And, you know, very mystical kind of movie, and not exactly horror, but like The Fountain was just like, they could have easily made that a cosmic horror movie because, you know, it's, you know, obviously the movie itself is about love transcending time and space, but you could have like, oh, what if instead of your true love lying at the other side of the universe or whatever, it's been a while since I've seen that movie. It was, you know, Azathoth or something. You know?
Yeah. It's worth rewatching because I think the movie is really about death more than like love as like what makes us important, or like our understanding of death and mortality. Because it's not just that like, oh, you know, they're so in love that it's like spanning from like Mayan times to the far future, but it's that in each one that she's like terminally ill and dying.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, but yeah. Point is, though, Mogwai soundtrack.
Mogwai soundtrack. And Kronos Quartet, which is obviously not post-rock, but Kronos Quartet is fucking great.
For sure.
I also listened to Requiem for a Dream like a ton.
That was a big soundtrack in our film school days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because like the other thing I was thinking about, yeah, tangential to that, because The Fountain's not really a horror movie, but there's also like a lot of horrific music independent of media, like disconnecting it from media. I just sort of had this fun thought that like, so people are probably most familiar with horror movies. So there's lots of different types of horror movies, right? Like there's slashers, there's monster films, whatever.
Haunted houses. Yeah.
But there's kind of like levels of engagement. Like slashers are very much like primal, like, hey, something's going to come cut you up, versus like, oh, there's a noble evil that you yourself are complicit in that you're not even aware of. Stuff like that. Music almost has like the same spectrum of like horrific music. So there's totally genres of just like gore songs. There's like gorecore and like, you know, grindcore metal that's all lyrics about like mutilation and killing people and stuff like that. Or, you know, then there's like monster stuff, which is like the Misfits, you know, that have, you know, a lot of their lyrics are kind of like horror movie type lyrics or inspired by that. Or Iron Maiden.
Rob Zombie.
Just
talking about Dracula.
But then you kind of like, I don't know, post-rock is like the cerebral, it's like the thinking man's horror movie music. I don't know. It's just like, I just think I was like, oh, like every genre, like even music, which I would not think of, has like the same genre spectrum of horror that books or movies do, which is not necessarily related to post-rock horror specifically, but it was something that popped in my head while trying to work out all this definitional stuff to even talk about the connection. Because there's a lot of music that I think is like truly horrific that is maybe post-rocky, but that would just be over-applying a genre.
I mean, yeah, genres are marketing terms.
Yeah, like a great example of someone I've been really into the past couple of years is, I don't know if I've told you about her, I know I've told Caleb, is Lingua Ignota?
Yeah, you've not told me about
it. Okay, so the phrase means, I think, like a noble language or something, or like dead language. It's a singer. She does like absolutely like chilling music. She has a very powerful, hyper operatic classical voice, and all the background music is like harsh, dissonant strings and stuff. It's like very Baroque, pulls a lot from like black metal, spiritual stuff. She pulls a lot from like her Catholic upbringing, but does lyrics that are absolutely like, so the big album that she was called Caligula, which I think is largely about being a domestic violence survivor. And it's like just the most angry, aggressive, horrific lyrics about like how awful it was to be abused, but delivered in like this big operatic, powerful voice against like dissident background neoclassical stuff. And like, that's like truly horrific and chilling music to listen to, like in the best way, like one of my favorite albums of the past couple of years. And that is not anything that would ever be connected to other media, but like, that's like truly horrific music. So when you scale back to post-rock as horror, to kind of loop back, I almost wonder if post-rock needs that extra context to be horrific, because it's like kind of not on its own, but you can certainly play it over other horror media and it makes sense. So does it need that extra does it need that sort of explicit context? Like, would you ever listen to a Godspeed or a Mogwai or Explosions in the Sky or God is an Astronaut, any of these like on your own, you know, would you fire up? I guess people could do it. And if people do, then I don't know, but it feels like it either takes on that genre label contextually through its involvement with other horror media, or there might be people that explicitly do it. But the bulk of what I think of is, yeah, like Silent Hill and 20 Days Later and stuff like that, not the music itself.
I mean, like, it dips into horror. Like, I mean, there's certain, like, especially when it gets really heavy into the drone and some of the plunderphonic stuff. A weird drone thing with, like, number stations playing, or, like, you know, the man in a monotone voice saying the machine is bleeding. Like,
yeah,
like that's pretty horrific. But like, post-rock never stays that long, because it always builds, you know, that crescendo core thing is kind of, it kind of the core of that.
Yeah.
It is kind of like an integral part of the genre is the rock element, and rock never stays. You know, I was thinking like, there is this whole link between just rock music in general and horror. See Stephen King, or, for example, the Alan Wake video game, which has Poets of the Fall, a rock group. And like, there's a whole thing in the game about like playing a rock concert to draw out the monsters so you can kill them with light and sound. But yeah, like the music itself, like aside from like, if you had a very carefully curated, like this part of this song and this part of this song and cut it all together, then it would be horror. But like, it dips into horror, but it never stays there, because it goes back to the rock. So yeah, I think you're right.
And that's not like a criticism of either the topic, which I still think is interesting. It's been a good chat, or the genre. Post-rock's like one of my favorite genres, probably.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I always like it, love to explore it. Yeah, I sort of abuse the fact that it's kind of overused to just kind of search out lots of new stuff that is like pretty tangential or like closer to metal or sludge. The ambient angle is interesting to me. So I want to like work on that point for a second. So yeah, there's ambient elements, and you can say they're horrific, but what's interesting is that, so I guess the thing I was thinking about was, say for example, we recently did the Dagon Cryo Chamber, which is 2 hours of ambient. Didn't really have like post-rocky type stuff. There's a lot of like more guitar and instrumentation, but it's interesting that none of us really, because there are three of us on that episode, Caleb was there, really identified it as like horrific.
I mean, I thought the opening of it was like very, well, I think like Caleb also said the like horror movie soundtrack, like with the like animalistic sounds, the growling and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I guess there's a difference between like horror movie soundtrack and like horrific music.
Yeah. And I think that's the distinction I'm getting hung up on.
Okay.
And that's just my fault. That's maybe like a whole separate episode. But yeah, I was trying to wonder, like, is post-rock horrific, which I don't think it is, but does it accompany horror media well? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of summarizing it. And for me, it dips into horrific occasionally, but it always never stays there long enough to really
yeah,
hit. But like, ironically, like it when accompanied by like a horror story at the right moment, it becomes horrific. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the crescendo stuff, like the Spec Ops: The Line, you're the bad guy. Oh shit. Fuck. Like that really hits, especially if you weren't aware of it when you were playing the game. Like, ah, fuck. I did all that shit for nothing. Fuck. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not horrific. Like, I mean, honestly, when you say like horrific music, the first thing that comes to me is The Caretaker. Cause that just, it's not like a in your face kind of horror, but man, like, especially when you understand the backstory of the album, of the albums, and it gets more and more distorted. You're like, oh, like a creeping dread kind of horror.
Sure. Yeah.
I'd have to think about like what is like in your face horrific to me.
I think one of the problems is that like one thing we didn't get to talk about as much is like just what is your baseline definition of horror, like independent of media? Like what, mm-hmm. what do you think of as horrific? Mm-hmm. And I sort of touched on it that there's lots of latitude in that. From just, I think this monster is going to kill me, to mm-hmm. I can't fully comprehend how awful everything is.
Yeah, the revelation, yeah, the realization of shit's fucked.
Yep, exactly. And I think if we were talking about like what makes music horrific, that would be an important thing to hash out. I think if we're just talking about like mm-hmm. connection to horror media, it's less key, but it's something to think about. Like when you have these types of conversations, because you know, we've already done like a music and horror episode in some sense where we did the vaporwaveization of horror or analog horror. And in that case, yeah, we had kind of a specific working definition of horror in that it was like amplifying the anxiety side of vaporwave, right? Mm-hmm. It was defamiliarization was a big part of it. So again, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, I think like you've been talking about like the different types of horror, yeah. you know, and like, and other writers like, you know, Lovecraft and Stephen King have written extensively, like there are different types of horror, mm-hmm. like from the visceral, like that thing is going to murder me. Mm-hmm. And then like alienation, like you're talking about, like an invasion of the body snatchers kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer real, or like everything around me is fake. Mm-hmm. Then like, Channel Zero season 2 had all thing about characters who were trapped in this suburban neighborhood that was in a pocket universe, and everyone there was fake and everything there was fake, but like it was really creepy. And like, yeah, so that would be like the vaporwave horror. But then there's like the revelation, which is what post-rock is about. Like, I have learned too much. It is too awful, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's cosmic horror or like about yourself. So like different types of music to accompany different types of horror.
Yeah, that's true too. It's interesting. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more you could talk about here. I just would have to work it out.
Yeah, it's something we could talk about in future episodes. Certainly, listeners, if you have any thoughts on the link between post-rock and horror, that would be something we could dive into more, or other rocks. I mean, there's other genres of rock. Mm-hmm. Hell, I was also thinking about prog rock. Mm. Bunch of that weird shit, you know, King Crimson and all that.
yeah, for sure. Which is, that's all interesting stuff. I was also thinking about dark jazz, because that was kind of mentioned in the Inception mm-hmm. tweet that kind of got the idea going. Because, and you know, I think we talked about it a little bit on our dark jazz episode where, yeah, I don't know if it's really horror though. Like, I have to rethink that, but it is connected to things that are...
It's sinister, yeah. Like it's more dark jazz, more like for thrillers. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, the first movie that pops into mind for that is Dark City, which Dark City is dark jazz, or you know, probably. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Or when we did like foundational dark jazz, one of those is the Dale Cooper Quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Twin Peaks. Yeah. Always goes back to David Lynch with you.
Hey. I didn't make the masterful media. I just consumed it.
That's fair.
But yeah, I guess I'm just trying to draw like maybe make it less about post-rock and horror and try to draw like cross genre links, because there is all of the stuff that comes up is all stuff that I would describe as like fairly brooding and languid. Like that seems mm-hmm. to be a real common thematic link between. Yeah,
it's about alienation too, like it's about isolation. I was thinking like post-rock is also the music of the apocalypse, because it's not like wandering around in a broken landscape wondering what the fuck happened. Mm-hmm. and not knowing what to do. So yeah, very, very relevant in today's world, I think.
Wasn't one of the links you posted, or I'll put some of our listening in the show notes, even though there's no samples.
Yeah, one of the mixes I linked to was like post-rock to listen. Yeah, while in quarantine. So,
yeah. Yeah. See, now that you have apocalypse stuff and our last episode, Signal Wave, and thinking about defamiliarization in the context mm-hmm. of nostalgia and like how it's not really a horror game, but like Fallout, you know, you're stuck in a apocalypse. And like mm-hmm. one of the absurdest kind of things they do is have all the music be like 50s era.
The ink spots.
Yeah.
Not even 50s, like 40s.
That's true. Yeah, even era. But like yeah. kind of the idea that like, yeah, culture kind of stopped at that point. There's kind of nothing after. There's mm-hmm. no rock and roll or anything.
Well, I mean, it's like early rock and roll. Like,
if it's there at all, yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting all the different approaches you can take.
Yeah.
It's one of the interesting things about music is like it can kind of exist on its own, but it's also so like
intertwined,
but it's such a good, it just absorbs context so well when used properly that it can, it's interesting. It kind of can become something completely itself in ways that like you can't combine a movie and a book or it's like an interesting, just the world of audiovisual stuff. I don't know. I'm just kind of repeating basic film theory stuff, but like the way in which the audiovisual that kind of like the way your brains can put all that together is fascinating to me.
Yeah. I mean, as part of the research for this, I just Googled post-rock horror movies.
Okay.
And there's an IMDb list of like 30 movies or something mm-hmm. that are post-rock. And most of them are not horror, but there are things like the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, mm-hmm. which is obviously about like alienation and like disconnection from other people. Interstellar, which is obviously very cosmic revelation, you know, mm-hmm. Ex Machina. Which is kind of horrific, you know, like, oh, AI's dangerous, huh? But then, like, one of the movies I didn't mention, Monsters, which is about, like, going through an infected zone filled with giant monsters, you know, a bunch of tourists found footage. Oh, The Road, that happy movie, you know.
Yeah, so I think it sounds like I just need to broaden my personal definition of horror and horror music. What's really going on here? Just the way I was thinking about it mm-hmm. was kind of wrong. And I've had to baby step my way back out of my own mental dead end live on air.
Okay.
For you, the listener.
Yeah. And some of these movies I don't remember like post-rock per se, but like It Follows.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to re-listen to that soundtrack. Coherence, which is an interesting movie, mm-hmm. like a sci-fi thriller, which is, it's one of those movies that you should not watch even the trailer for. Just watch it. If you like the idea of a mysterious sci-fi movie. Mm. So There's a lot of links between these genres, between music and storytelling, because like post-rock is about the emotional journey of the listener. And it's about going through, for me, it always goes back to despair and passion, and that passion could be rage. It could be joy. It could be defiance. You know, look at Godspeed You Black Emperor, you know, the machine is bleeding, you know, despair to like, mm-hmm. we have to, like their newest album, we have to win in the end. So, you know, that defiance, it covers a lot, but it's a very, that journey maps on very well to horror, you know, in the horror story, like the protagonist finds out about the horrific thing. Oh shit, despair. And at the end confronts it and either overcomes it or is overwhelmed by it. They're very, very much either angry or defiant. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, I love it.
Thanks for listening. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about Plunderphonics again through a artist, Neil C, and his Mouth Sound albums. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're in for a treat. These albums are freely available on the internet, and they are just candy for your ears. And Plunderphonics, it's not just for Negative Land and the Avalanches anymore. So I'm very excited about that. Don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/nightclerkradio. We post a bonus episode every month We have quite the backlog at this point. A year at this point, or almost a year worth of episodes. Whatever. Time is fake. But we also have a Discord where I post links to very interesting mixes and other fun little music things. And we have some discussion there. It's pretty cool. And I am at Ross Payton on Twitter. Burke is at Burke McBurkinson. And our Twitter account is at Night Clerk Radio. We also have a Facebook page and a website, nightclerkradio.com. Please rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice. And tell your friends, tell your family, tell your frenemies, tell anyone who, do you like music? Then you don't like, tell people who don't like music at all. Help this will teach them how to like music some music at least. So yeah,
help us help them. Yeah,
exactly. But anyways, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.